slides for us. Okay. Just wanted to give you just a real quick update on what's been going on in our lives. First of all, I want to talk about what Sean has been doing. So we lived in Russellville about a month and a half, and Shauna found a house, or found a number of houses that we really liked, really loved, and we ended up with a little house that nobody wanted. We actually found one that was turnkey that we thought was perfect, except the neighborhood was really, you ever find that, like, a diamond in the rough, except the rough is really, 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 and I can't say the word really enough, rough. Okay, really awesome house, really rough neighborhood. You almost want to say the guys who remodeled it, why did you remodel this house this way in this neighborhood? I mean, it was like awesome. Nobody had put in a bid on it and all this stuff, and we thought, oh, this house is perfect. We don't have to do any work. We can get, you know, straight into some other stuff we want to get started. And we put a bid in on it, and within that day, four other bids came in on the house, and there was just no way. So the people who were selling the house were really thankful that we put in the first bid because it upped everybody else's and we can do it. So we decided we'd go the opposite direction. Let's find a house that nobody wants. And so we found this house that nobody wanted, but we weren't giving the guy enough money for whatever reason. So, David, you're just going to have to run it. I'm having issues, so I'm just going to trust you. So we found this house, and it's really hard to see in the picture, but the only thing that Shauna didn't remodel in this house was the wood laminate floor. And so if you back up, you can see we took down every piece of paneling, and some houses have sheetrock behind paneling and you luck out. We weren't that lucky. What we did find out when we took all the paneling off was that this house, if a tornado or the nuclear power plant, which is about 3 miles away, explode, this house will probably be the only thing left because it is so structurally sound and built. It's ridiculous. It doesn't just have framed in walls. They're all cross-braced every 16 inches. I'm used to 16-inch studs. It was just nuts. We pulled off the paneling. I'm like, whoa. So we went from dark red tile, brown paneled walls, and a kitchen that wasn't big enough to open the refrigerator because of all the cabinets, to pretty much, and that's actually one of my favorite pictures because this is her and everything that she's done because she picked out the tile and then convinced
basically
a bunch of people
to get down the whole house to the studs.
Pretty much.
I don't know what we were thinking because we were trying to be new and make friends and we didn't have time for people.
Yeah.
So we were trying to do that. So
we got to know people who were coming over like, hey, we want
to
help.
Just wanted to smash stuff. So
yeah, it was awesome. That's how I got to know Jack's Sunday school teacher. It was really great. He lives four doors down from us and he's like, hey, I just want to come over and help. And I was like, hey, grab a sledgehammer. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I said, you see that shelf? And I said, yeah. I said, just hit it as hard as you can. And he just demolished the thing. And Shauna's eyes were really big. He goes, did I do something wrong? I said, no, do it again. And then we're best friends now, I think. Anyway, so that's what it was. So that's what Shauna has done and really just thrown that in pretty much full time is what she's done. Now, that's me for the first and last time I co-piloted a plane. My cousin which was my cousin's husband, I'll just call him my cousin, kept saying, hey, go flying with me, you got to do it. And they just didn't live an hour away. And I'm like, okay, Shauna, I'm going to go flying with Herbert. Okay. You know, she's like, sure, we'll be back by 6. We got home at 1 in the morning because Herbert's planes don't all work while they're in the air. Yeah, it was scary, but you know, when you get in a plane and the guy flying the plane gets a phone call on his cell phone and he says, hey, can you just keep us steady while I take this call? And I'm like, no, but I'll try. You know, so we're going. And he's like, oh, yeah, great. Yeah, we'll be there. And he goes, hey, you want to take a detour? I'm like, sure. And he goes, where are we flying? He goes, Batesville. I'm like, Batesville, y'all wouldn't know. It's like 4 hours away. It'd be like flying from here to almost Missouri, of my Miami area. You know, just like, hey, let's, in a driving sense. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why are we getting? He goes, oh, we're getting some parts for this plane because all I have is the digital readout. None of these instruments work. And I'm like, okay, texting Shauna, honey, I just want you to know I love you. Please remember, tell the boys I love you all, you know. And on the way back, it was just kind of one of those moments when you're flying with somebody and it's just you two in a plane and they're saying, uh-oh, uh-oh, hey, could you keep pumping the throttle manually for me. And what had happened was there was something wrong when he got it serviced. The spark plugs were firing in the wrong order. And so we had to maintain keeping it in the air. And he goes, hey, remember when I taught you for emergency purposes how to find a runway on our heading? And I said, yeah. He goes, do you remember how to do that? I was like, exactly. He goes, we got to do that. So it was like, I appreciate life now more. So next one is, I don't know if this is going to play. There's Ethan on a skateboard. Okay, because that's, I couldn't find a picture. We made the mistake of buying a house a quarter of a mile away from a skate park. And so he constantly is wanting to go to the skate park. And he'd be embarrassed if I showed that because he'd be, Dad, I'm so much better than that now. He's now jumping up onto it instead of just jumping off. And he's here with us. Last but not least is the big guy. And when I say big guy, he's here.
Yeah.
Harold is right here. So it's like
a man child.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. We found a video. Like his sister showed us a video that she had of Jack when he was real little. We put it on Facebook. Some of your friends with us saw it. We put it on there of Jack saying he's wearing a shirt that actually says "Chicks Dig Me." Some of you teenagers may remember that shirt when he was really little. And his aunt says, Jack, what does that shirt say? And he goes, letters. And he goes, no, what does it say? He goes, I love mom. Because he's 12 and he doesn't want to admit that he loves mom. But that was, he played football for the very first time and took to it like a duck to water. It was just awesome. And I'm a proud dad. I could just brag for hours on how well he did and just his mannerisms on the field. I was kind of a little bit worried that he'd be hot-headed out there. And he's, I don't want to hurt anybody, Dad. I don't hit him all the way. And his coach is like, Jack, hit him all the way. And he's like, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I said, that's why they wear helmets. Oh, okay. And then he gets blocked by three people when he's on defense. And he's like, Dad, they put three people on me. I can't tackle anybody. And I'm like, you don't understand how awesome that is, son. So this is where we've been at, just as a family. And a lot of you know, as a family, we've made a very big decision, a very big step of faith. Our hearts were moved years ago when the earthquake happened in Haiti. Both very personally, each one of us, working with teenagers, working with kids, our hearts and our lives very much are about seeing young lives changed. Seeing families changed. And so when we've seen children lose parents, and when we've been around students and seen their lives changed by somebody coming in, and Riley, you're a big part of this. Just watch this real quick, just a quick slideshow. And we'll kind of see where our heart is.
Little hands, shoeless feet. Looking back at me, will we leave behind the innocent to grieve? On their own, on the run, when their lives have only begun, these could be our daughters and our sons.
Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. What was once a booming economy has just dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. Before the 2010 earthquake, we had it up there at the beginning of that. Before the earthquake, there were already 380,000 orphans. The reason we mentioned the earthquake is because in a moment's time, they estimate another 40,000 to 50,000 children were orphaned. Part of that is due to the loss of their parents. And part of it is due to also what happens in if earthquake or natural disaster happened here. How many of you are homeowners? How many of you adults are homeowners? How many of you have insurance that would cover some of that? There's no home insurance in Haiti. So when families lost their home, huge source of their income had to go back to rebuilding a home. And when that income went back to rebuilding a home, they could no longer take care of their children. So a lot of children, which most of the children in Haiti become orphans because of poverty. Their parents just can't support them, so they relinquish their parental rights to these orphanages. So if you can imagine a country the size of Haiti, and I want you to pull it up, and we were showing the boys this, and in a moment I'm going to share a story about Ethan and something he said that really said to us, hey, it's time to do this, to get really serious about it. When you look at a country the size of Haiti and think there are 400,000 plus children in this country who are essentially crammed into orphanages, some of them which are so overcrowded they have semi-tractor trailers that they line with mattresses at night for them to sleep in because they don't even have a lodging and doors to put them in. And so when we began this process of stepping out in faith, it was something we'd wanted to do for a while. Even before Jack and Ethan were born, we had contemplated, do we have kids of our own or do we adopt? Because we know there's a lot of children out there. Of course, we decided to take, you know, the step and say, okay, let's try to have kids of our own first. And we did. We had two great, great little boys. And a lot of you got to watch them grow, especially Ethan had his first birthday here. So especially some of you. And I can thank Stephanie, who was around for a lot of things with Ethan, good and bad. Very bad. Learned why his middle two initials are ER for a lot of reasons. But we have two great little boys. And we got to this point where we're like, okay, is it time? Is it time to do this? And so we began to pray. I'm going to turn this over to you for a moment.
Well, like James said, a lot of you know us and you know our hearts and you know that we've dedicated our lives to seeing young lives change through Jesus. And so adoption has always been something I've always talked about, I've always hoped for. We've always said, someday, someday, someday. And you all know how it is. I mean, you say, well, we'll do that someday when we pay off that bill. Or we'll do that someday when we buy a house. Or when our kids are older. Or when they're driving. And there's always the excuses and there's always the reasons why you don't do something or you put something on the back burner. And we had a very good reason to keep this on the back burner by changing everything and moving and leaving home, which, by the way, the first 6 months we wanted to move back, so just so you know, because this is home for us. But, you know, you always have those things, and I think God keeps stirring your heart and putting things on your heart that he wants you to do in his name, and we find a million excuses not to do it. And so our excuse was, well, now we just moved and we remodeled this house and we don't have money and everything. Well, God just kind of kept stirring that little desire in our hearts to do this. And so one night my mom was visiting and we all sat down and we talked with the boys about, what do you think if we did this? Where would you be at? We wanted to kind of fill them out and kind of figure out, you know, because it would be a big step for them too. And they were totally on board. Like, yeah, let's go. Can we go tomorrow? You know, let's do this. And so we have been praying about it and seriously fasting. And so one day, James and I said, well, we had been doing our research, looking at different countries, looking at different agencies, talking to people that have adopted internationally and domestically.
And one of my coworkers is in the process of adopting
locally through Arkansas. So, you know, talking to him and seeing around that every day, it almost is that conviction, because here's a guy that he and his wife have less than we do. And right now they have 3 foster kids in their home in addition to their child that they already have. And we're just like, okay, man, if Josh and Jamie can do this, and we're seeing other people do this, what are we really lacking? Because it really seemed like it was lacking in us to have the confidence to step out and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we decided that we would just fill out the online application that anyone can apply to and see what they say. Well, they came back to us the very next day and said, please fill out our official application and we'll send it to you. Oh, by the way, when you fill it out, you have to send us $350. And I was like, oh, well, we're not going to do this because we don't even have $350 to fill out an application. So some of our friends and our boys were very much like, no, we can come up with $350. So we had people bring, they were bringing truckloads over to our house, and we had a giant yard sale, and in 3 hours made more than enough to pay for the application fee. So we decided, okay, so we're going to fill out the application, and then they'll turn us down, and it'll be okay, we won't have to do it anymore.
Right.
You know, because you put it on the back burner, and you think it's really not going to happen. But, okay, we'll give it a try, and when they tell us, nah, you guys can't do this, then we're like, well, at least we tried, right? So after filling the 18-page application out and giving them everything except for our blood, they said, oh, we'll get back to you in a week. Well, they called the very next day. And this is special to me because they called the very next day, which was exactly a year from when we moved here. And that was a hard day for me anyways, because the whole day I was grumpy, mad, and homesick. And I get this phone call, and this lady's on the other line, and she's saying, congratulations, we've accepted you into our program. And I'm like, whoa, why? You said a week, you know? And she said, no, we really believe in your family. Our whole agency is very excited to accept you into our adoption program. And we would like you to consider adopting from Haiti. And to go back a little, there's a lot of, like, when you get into adoption and you get into the different countries, every country has different regulations. So there's, like, a 6-year waiting period, or your body weight has to be a certain amount, or you have to have a net worth of like $200,000. And
it's go just, live there for 6 months?
Yeah, we looked into Kenya, and they want us to come and live there for 6 months. And I'm like, you can do that, you know, without our children. I mean, it's just...
By the way, Jack and Ethan were 4 living in Kenya for 6 months. They thought that idea was so cool, and I'm like,
you know, so there's money. There's different requirements for each country, even with the United States. And so one thing we were sure about Haiti is that we had done a lot of work with Audio Adrenaline and their Hands and Feet Project through youth ministry, and they work in Haiti. So we had known a lot about Haiti, but the requirement about Haiti is they have a 2-year waiting period just to even be on the list to adopt from there. And we thought, when she said, I'd like you to consider adopting from Haiti, I was like, well, we sure, but my concern is it would be another 2 years just to even get started. And she said, which all you TBFers know, she said, this must be a God thing. And I, like, my antennas went up because I was like, it was TBF day in my mind because it was exactly a year from when we moved. And she's like, there's absolutely no one on the waiting list to adopt from Haiti right now. And I was like, what? Like, in the world? And she said, yes, ma'am, in the world, there's no one on the list to adopt from Haiti right now. And I just knew it was God saying, you're going to do this, and you're going to stop putting it on the back burner, and you're going to just let me provide, and you're just going to do it. So...
That's what we're doing, yeah.
And that's how it all came about. And, you know, we are actually looking at a process of 18 to 24 months to do this. And we we have requested an infant girl, 0 to 24 months, or a sibling group as long as one of them is a girl. Because I'm kind of outnumbered, so I need some ponytails. And so we're not sure what God's going to surprise us with. My mom thinks we're going to come home with 7. She's like, oh, you're going to come home with like 7, and I'm going to have to move in. So we'll see. But
we need a bigger house. Well, and it's funny, a lot of you parents know this, that your children's faith challenges yours, and how your children's perspective will challenge you sometimes, especially when they're small. And I remember when we had talked to the boys, they were for it. But those of you who know our boys well enough, Jack is really, he's a thinker. He thinks things through. He might be impulsive in one moment, but if something's going to have a big effect in his life, he will stew. And I don't know where he gets stewing from about things, but he will stew and he will think and he'll think. And so Jack was for it, but he was really quiet. And so we went to ask him, and he goes, I don't understand how we can do this. He goes, I know we should. I just don't understand how it's going to work. You know, and he's like, I don't understand how all of a sudden I'll have another sister or two sisters and a sister and a brother or whatever we have, because I don't understand how it automatically becomes family like that. So it's enabled Jack and I to have a lot of discussions about adoption, and not adoption as in family, Brad. Adoption is in us as believers, which has been really cool because he's understanding that as a believer in Christ, what it means to take in, which is really neat. You know, especially for those of you who taught Jack and any sort of classes in there. Every verse now that it said the word adopted, he's sort of like, okay, I kind of understand adopted, what that means. Ethan on the flip side. Jack and I were in there, and I think we were having a conversation over a game of Madden football on the Xbox while we were sitting there, you know, just talking back and forth. And Ethan is in there with Shauna, and Shauna's like, James, you got to come in here. It's like, why? So,
the adoption agency encourages you to research the country you're adopting from, to learn maybe even the language, which we're going to try. And, you know, so at this moment, I was sitting down with Ethan, and we were reading about Haiti, and we were looking through pictures and things, and we had scrolled through a picture that they had sent us of these little boys, and they were making tents to live in, and they had taken sticks and tied sticks together, and they were putting basically trash on the tents. I wish I
like plastic tarps.
Yeah, I wish I would have brought the picture, but they have like... And in the background, these boys, and they're putting the tents together, and they're putting tarps and trash bags and stuff over to make these tents. And then up close to the camera, there's a picture of this one little boy peeking out from the corner of the tent that he had made. And he's just smiling and just so happy. And Ethan looks up at me, and he just has these little teardrops right here. And he said, Mom, I know we don't have a lot. We have a lot of love, and we can help some kids. And I was like, you're 9 years old, you get it. Like, he understands, and that's so important for me, for my own children, to understand why our heart is where it's at and why we're doing this. And so for me, that was a huge confirmation from God that we are doing the right thing, and that these kids that are going to come into our home, we can be their forever family. And that is very important for my own children to understand. So that was it. That was a huge confirmation. I was like, James, get in here. Of course, then he was like, what's the big deal? You know. Yeah.
And the company we're going through is a Christian-based company. It's called America World Adoptions. And they use that phrase, forever family, a lot. And that's the real reason why we wanted to come and share with you. I asked Brad if there's a chance that we could come, because we consider you all our church family. I mean, we're part of a church in Russellville, yes, but we were talking about it on the way here that we still refer to Duncan as home. I mean, this is home for us, and we're forever family. I mean, our family's eternal, you know. And some of us have gotten to know each other better than others. Some of us, Joe, know each other too well sometimes. Ron, yeah. Drew, especially Drew, yeah. But we're family. And really when it comes down to what we have and what's going on, it's a process. Now, I'm not going to lie, it's an expensive process. It is, but we were telling somebody the other day, they're like, so are you worried about raising the money? And I said, over $30,000? The funny thing is, no. No, in no way. My Father in Heaven owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why am I worried about that? Because he's proven that he'll provide one way or the other. When we were worried about making a $350, $375 payment just to apply, we had friends who said, let's just raise the money real fast for you. We'll just do this. We can raise the money. You guys keep griping about your storage unit that has a bunch of stuff in it that you don't even know where you're going to put it in your house and you don't really want it anyways. Sell it. Just sell it and go. And we're like, okay. So we sold it and there's some money. And then Shauna, doing research on what she can do, comes across these bracelets that Savannah has been selling, and that we had some other friends of ours that are school teachers. And by the way, the people who gave us the stuff to sell, school teachers in schools who at the same time aren't rolling in, you know, a lot of money like lawyers and doctors, even though they should be. They just said, we want to help. So we can give you what we can, and we can give you our time, and we can do this. We had teachers at Ethan's school who said, we can sell these bracelets. And we even had the principal who wanted to sit down and talk to us about it. She said, you know what, I'll save 10 cans. And what has happened is that we've seen God move in hearts to say, hey, we'll help out and we'll come alongside you. And so raising the money, which we have to raise, hasn't been the issue. You know, the biggest issue for us is discouragement. Because I'm a worry wart. And I know the youth group will be like, no, he doesn't worry about anything. Yes, I do. Everything. I worry about everything. And I'll tell you right now, my biggest worry, Steve, it's when we get this 300-page document done. And I'm not even worried about the people coming to our house, too, because we have to essentially get approved in the United States to adopt before we can adopt from Haiti. I mean, that's just sort of the United States. Like, if we were adopting a child in Arkansas, we have to get that same approval, the same binder, the same thing my coworkers had to do in his home. And so that whole process doesn't bother me. Great. I'm not worried about a thing in my life. Open book, fine, look at it. This is what it is. I'm worried, Gene, about this thing getting translated into French. I know, and that sounds so strange. But the biggest concern in my heart is like, something's going to get translated wrong. Something's going to be. Now, Brad may double laugh about that because we've talked about biblical translation and the never incorrect version, which is really incorrect in a lot of ways. But it's just like translation. I'm worried about translation. I'm worried about some dumb thing is going to get messed up in there. And we're going to be discouraged about that. We're worried about missing our spot and our opportunity in some places. We're worried about something beyond our control. And that's really where we need the most help. We just need prayer and encouragement in a lot of ways. Just daily prayers. We joke that we have a lot of conversations on the floor where we both are just discouraged, where we just sit down and either we cry or we've got the sniffling going and the tears are going and we're worried and we don't know how the whole thing's going to work out. There have been a lot of conversations on our bedroom and bathroom floor where we've just sat there. And the boys come in, and we're like, well, we're just talking, you know, and we don't want them to get discouraged at the same time, but discouragement is really the big thing. Because when you're not discouraged and your faith is flying, you think you can do anything. Actually, it's not that you just think you can do anything. You know. You know you can do anything. Those words of Philippians 4 become really real, where Paul was like, if I got everything I need, if I don't have anything, I just know I can do all things. So it's not the stuff to do anything that matters. It's just that confidence. And so the biggest thing we can ask of you, we want to ask of our family, which is you all, is just to keep us in your prayers. Just to keep us in your prayers. And there'll be things coming up. There's going to be fundraisers we're doing. We talked to Ron. Ron's going to help us with a few things and kind of spearhead a few things around here. Savvy's been selling the bracelets, and she's going to have them all the time, at least when we can get them mailed to us. All right. But I got to tell you this. Just in a whim, Shauna says, I'm going to order 3 boxes of bracelets. So she gets them. And they're from a company where they're helping people in Haiti learn a vocation, helping them become kind of artisans and make little small things. And they make these little small beaded bracelets. And some of y'all have seen them out of trash, and then they fire them into beads and, you know, kind of cool looking deals. What's awesome is this one. You can look on it. You can see numbers on it, on one of them, where you, barcodes and different things. They're cool. Well, they make them for these people, and this guy's name is Yano. Yano's trying to keep his kids and not go into poverty. And that's what this company does. And so it's been awesome to be able to like partner with groups like that, that we're trying to get a kid from Haiti to try to help change their life, and we get to help a family at the same time not have to relinquish the rights of their kids to somebody else, get to help them keep their kids. So there's going to be different things we're going to be doing, and we're going to kind of have our agents here in Duncan helping us. But the biggest thing you can do, and I can't stress this enough, is to keep us in your prayers, because your prayers are really what's going to keep the enemy at bay. And trust me, we've had moments. It was kind of strange. In the months leading up to this, we had a lot of conversations about how real the enemy is and how real the enemy will discourage us in so many ways and how real the enemy can tempt us and do different things in our lives. And it was really God's preparing. It was the Holy Spirit preparing us for these moments that we're in, because it would have been very easy a couple months ago, even after we turned in the $300 application and they accepted us. There was about a week in there that we were like, I mean, I don't know if we can do this. And the funny part is, it was gnawing at me, it was gnawing at her, and we weren't saying a thing to each other. And we were tense. And then we finally sat down and talked about it for 15 minutes on the bathroom floor, and we're both crying. It was like, well, God's got this under control. What are we worried about? And we need people praying for us so we can get through those moments. And the best part is that this child now gets to become part of our church family together. And it's not going to be the kind of thing where we won't be here. We want to be here to share this with you guys. And so we're not going to hide this away, and y'all just get to be part of something that happens a distance away. Y'all are our church family. Always will be. And so we want just y'all alongside with us praying for this and supporting us, however.
Well, and like James said, a lot of the discouragement for me is money. We're looking at about $35,000, and if we adopt a sibling group, it will go up some because you have to pay for their extra legal expenses, their airfare to get them here,
immigration,
yeah, and all that. I mean, that's even with his discount because he's a pastor. So
Brad, if you still want to. Getting older, though, the window is narrowing.
We might have missed the window. But, you know, even the application fee, like I said, God just said, I'm going to do this. I will provide. And you know, I think of Rick, because he would always say to us whenever we would do mission trips and stuff, he would say, I know you're working hard. I know you're doing the yard sale. And remember, where God guides, God provides. And I can see him saying that to me because he said it a million times. But I thought of that in this moment when we were doing the yard sale for our application fee. I thought, where God guides, God provides. And that's a huge number. And it's sad that it has to be such a huge number to change some children's lives, you know. But it is legal fees, it's airfare, because we have to go out there twice to Haiti. You know, it's all that stuff. It's getting everything translated into French.
Which is about the biggest fee that you have to pay.
Lawyer fees and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's very expensive.
Yeah.
They give you a detailed list of what everything costs, and I'm like, really? What if I learned French and I translate?
It'd be more. We went through this. It'd be more expensive for you to become an attorney and learn French. So it's just
probably true, and take longer.
Yeah.
But so I forgot what I was saying.
Discouragement.
Yes, but as a mom, you know, we have decided as a family to do some things to take our part, like. We have decided we don't go out to eat anymore. That's big for us.
That's how I lost weight.
The boys decided that we will not go to the movies for 2 years. And that, you guys know, is huge for them. So the Red Box has been, I know, right, sir?
Sir,
the Red Box has been
out.
Our best friend lately. But, you know, we too can do those little things. The boys have been saving their allowance, and they've been putting half their allowance in a little jar. Things like that. And they all add up. And then, but sometimes the devil comes in and goes, oh, but look at the big fat number with all those zeros. And it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen within 18 to 24 months. And so discouragement is huge. Or even on, not on the financial side, but on the, where are you going to put them all? Are you going to line the walls with bunk beds? Because your mom knows you're getting seven, you know, and just like, you know, and so you think, oh, am I going to be able to provide? And, you know, even when they do get here, you think about all those little things as a mom. And so the devil does creep in and does discourage. So we have made these little cards, which Savvy and Drew are going to pass out whenever we leave, but they're for you to put on your fridge, and they have some pictures of us, and that way when you see it, you can just say a little prayer for us. That would be awesome.
Feel free to hang the magnet right in the middle, because you don't look at that face, but the rest of them are all beautiful. So.
And there's some information on the back about just stuff about us. If you'd like to donate, or even our address, you want to send us the card.
Please send us cards.
And we also have a blog that we've started that you can read and just follow up, and we post pictures and what's going on. Now we can't, once we get a child referred to us, we can't post anything of the child until they're actually ours here, bringing them back to the United States. So unfortunately, we can't, you know, we can't do that. You can come over and I can show you pictures.
Or we'll just make another appointment to come visit and say, here you go. Here's a picture.
But,
yeah.
We can't, you know, put anything on the internet or social media, unfortunately. But you can keep up with us, and we can, you know, when we find out who we'll be adopting, you know, we can kind of budge a little bit.
We can give some details.
Some hints.
So.
But so please take one of these and just put on your fridge, like I said, and just remember us. And, you know, I just thought, like, missionaries have those cool cards you put on your fridge. And you remember. So now we're on your fridge.
Yeah, I know. I never thought I'd have one of those cards, Brad. But I have one. So it's awesome. So,
and we just, you know, I was going to, somebody had asked us the other day, you know, besides changing a child's life, why are you really doing this? And I was just like, oh, on the spot. So, you know, we kind of thought about it for a second, and we got back to them and said, you know, we're doing this not only because God's fostered this desire in our heart over many years, but I also feel like people can watch this process and they can see God work firsthand in our lives and hopefully be encouraged to take that step of faith or whatever they need to do in their own lives to see God work in their lives and stop putting those things on the back burner like we've done for so long.
Right.
And just take that step of faith. And I'm hoping that this whole process, that the encouragement that people see God working firsthand, doing this and providing every little detail, will be encouragement to others. So just keep us in your prayers, so that we don't get discouraged and that we can just give God all the glory for doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was my uncle, by the way, who's a Methodist minister. And we were like, are you trying to talk us out of this? And he was like, no. He goes, that's just what I was wanting to hear. Did you have your own purpose, or was it God's purpose? And I said, oh, it's all about God's purpose. It's all about forwarding the kingdom. And he just kind of sat there for a second. He said, well, I'm on board. What are we going to do? And so, which was awesome to have him say, because it's a little bitty country church that he pastors in Waltreek, Arkansas. So that's right. Do we need to field some questions, Brad? Do you think, just give a moment for that. Anybody have any questions or about what's going on? Or David Dimmerson. The clock starts, I mean, the moment that you're accepted with the enrollment fees. Now, there are little things that delay it that can make it go out. It can actually move as fast as 15 months. 18 months to 2 years is pretty typical in what we're doing. We have to do a lot of training in this. I mean, just even if you were going to adopt, DHS would make you do a lot of training. So we have to do kind of those same kind of trainings and additional, because you have to learn how to acclimate a child from one culture to a new one, and there's things with racial. Language and racial in there. It's going to be, you know, definitely different for the child. So we that process is about a year long worth of training. That major one, and it doesn't rely on 100% of the fundraising, but you have to make payments for that to continue on. So our first major payment, which is what we've been essentially allowed to raise through just different family and friends, we've made that one, or we're actually about to make. We've made the money. We just have to get it forwarded in. There's a few things that are trickling in on that.
It's the bracelets
that we've been selling, and a few other things. Bracelets. Yeah. So it's funny how $6 at a time, this has enabled us to raise the first enrollment into the program. But we applied, we got accepted, and then enrollment into the training is our first payment. And so this is what it's been. Once that starts, it's 18 months exactly from the moment they get that and they said, okay, here we go. It's 18 months. So the clock really starts rolling in about a week for us.
And they put you on a payment plan, basically.
To assist you in raising.
Like, our first payment is $2,100. Your next payment is $2,100. Your next payment is $6,000, which I'm not going to think about just yet. So you know what's coming up. And the great thing about this agency is they give you a family coordinator that is basically our new best friend that says, this is your next step, how did your home study go, did you get that FBI background done, and walks you literally through the process and will be our guide and translator when we go to Haiti both times. So that's great that we have someone working along beside us, just keeping us in step. All the money does have to be raised before we're legally allowed to bring them home. And then there's money after that that still has to be paid, because you have to have home visits, DHS home visits after like 6 months and then a year and 2 years, up to like 6 years after the adoption's even finalized. So, I mean, it's just not a 2 year process. It's going to be a long process.
But an 8 year process.
Yeah. But in our fundraising, we've just started, and we're about able to make the first payment.
Yeah. Once everything is in, we have a few people that have yet to give us their money that they raised. Once it's in, I mean, we're over and beyond. And that's been the great part, is that when we did the yard sale, we raised $150, $170 more than we needed to raise. And with this, all of a sudden, we were doing the math the other day, like, we've still went, wow, when everybody gets their money and we're there, that's more than enough than what we got to be. Plus, we have more that, like, her sister's requesting almost 100 more, it seems like, of bracelets that we've got to get to them to sell to their friends at different places. And that's just the beginning. When it's just the beginning like that, you're like, okay, we're really encouraged. This is not as much a worry and a fear about how we're going to do this. It's just, how's it going to happen? And it's the unknown, what you don't see, that really lets worry set in. So, Dale? Oh, it's all online. It'll be online through, you know, a lot of video and things to watch, and then report back,
reading,
testing, different things like that. We have to watch. We have to do the training and then prove that we've done the training. Essentially, it's going back to school. A lot of us. I hope so, because I don't speak French, nor do I speak Creole, which is also what they speak. So, anybody else? Yes, sir. Well, there's two ways that we're going to do this. Ron and I, there's the way that it's being done through our church, it is not tax deductible. The way that Ron is going to set it up, and we've talked a little bit about this. There's certain ways you have to do it to where it's more of an anonymous fund. So, and that would do with the deacon and elders' approval to do it in that way. But there's two different funds to do it as of right now. Once we get so far in the process, we become eligible about halfway through the process. We'll become eligible for a larger fund that's an adoption fund. That's kind of a nationwide thing that you could give to at that point. That's done online, kind of an online giving. So there's different ways of doing this, and so it's just a matter of how it's set up. Our church, the way it's set up, and with other people adopting, it would have to be designated, and there's different ways to do it. So, yeah. If you want to. Trust me, I've answered the same question with my father, who's a CPA, asking the same, you know. It doesn't have to be, yeah. So.
There's also, there's a lot of grants that we can apply for, that we will apply for. Even if we don't meet all the requirements, like, you know, we're not African-American, or I'll still apply because I have to give it to someone. So, but there's a lot of grants we can apply for after we have completed certain steps. There's a nationwide company that we can be part of, that we become part of, that people from anywhere all over the world can donate to us specifically, or another adopting couple, and it's all tax deductible. Plus, if people donate to us, then they match it. So it's like a grant also. So if someone donates $1,000, then they'll turn around and give us an additional $1,000. So
that's about a year and a half.
We're not there yet.
That's post-home study. That's post-approval from Haiti for us to adopt a child. And there are like so many hoops you got to go through to get certain ones. Being a minister, I don't know why more ministers don't adopt, because there are more grants for ministers, it seems like, than anybody else. So, Brad, I'm just trying to tell you. It's never too late until you get old, and then it is too late. I'm just throwing that out there. Just saying, you know, you talk to Debbie about it. I'm not, no pressure, even though we said it in front of everybody. No pressure. I'm just saying. Just saying. Okay, that's all right. That's not the first time you've said that to me either. That's
problem.
That's interesting. Jack has actually brought something akin to that up to us, that, you know, this is an idea, Dad. I'm like, yeah, he's like, I could do more chores, you know. And
then, yeah. Well, we've been collecting cans also, so they'll come home from school with their lunch box full of cans, that their friends had a Coke in their lunch, so they have taken their cans from school and put it in there, and so their lunch box is full of soda dripping. Awesome.
Our unchurched neighbors who are rough around the edges give us also non-soda cans toward this.
As long as they're
but listen,
cans, I don't care.
It's aluminum and it's got to go somewhere, you know, and it's going to get to Cunningham Iron and Metal anyways in town, and Mr. Cunningham goes to our church and he's like, listen, it's going to end up at my place anyways. It's better off you bringing it than someone else. I was like, then don't judge me, Johnny, when I come in, you know, with a bag smelling like barley. But that's been kind of the fun part, because even our neighbors our closest neighbor who lives to us, who goes to our church, is Jack's Sunday school teacher. The next one is actually the pastor of our church. And the neighbors who are around us, who either go to different churches or don't go to church at all, are helping and taking part and doing stuff. So it's been really kind of neat to see that in the neighborhood. So it's been kind of cool. And those are the encouraging things. So, Blaine, are you fixing your hair? Do you have a question? Okay.
We have to make two trips. Our first trip will be just James and I for about a week, and that's a court appearances, things like that. If we were going to change the child's name, that's when we're going to do that, stuff like that. The second trip will be for about a week also. And Jack and Ethan will be able to go with us, and actually whoever else wants to. So, like, some grandparents might end up being able to go with us. And
they got to raise their own money, though. I'm not.
Exactly.
I'm paying for a family vacation to Haiti. That's fine.
That second trip, and of course it's with the agency, so we go with other families that are adopting from Haiti also. So it's a big experience. that we can all go and do this together. I was deeming it's very encouraging to see other people go through this also with you. And the second trip, like, they'll be able to go, and they'll be able to go to the orphanage. Jack and Ethan would be able to see firsthand, which I think is so important, because I remember talking to Jeremy French and talking about his siblings and his passion, just like, and he knew he got it. Of course, he was a little older when his family adopted, but I think Jack and Ethan being hands-on and actually seeing how these kids live and the environment and what all the fundraising and all the prayers and all the talk has been about, they'll get it in that moment. And I'm so excited about that they get that opportunity to go and be part of that and bring their siblings home with them.
All right, and part of our hope is that they will one day, too, do this. We've seen it with Shauna's former youth pastor, who's actually the gentleman who introduced us to each other. He's seeing that with his own kids. They adopted from China. It's the same company we're using. And when they brought Claire home, his two daughters were so inspired that one of them has interned and is looking at hopefully going to work even for this company and is going to go into the adoption process as soon as she can. And so we've sat back and thought, man, if there's anybody else we can influence to maybe one day do this, we're hoping at least we're influencing our voice to at least pray about it and think about it. And beyond that, hopefully somebody else. So, anybody else? Any more questions? Colin? No. Were you fixing Blaine's hair too? I'm just kidding. I had to say it. Sorry. That's it. Well, we appreciate the time. Sorry to take so much on a Sunday morning, but just please keep us in your prayers. If anything, that's really what we need.